Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Premonition or a Glitch by Ellie. This happened in the summer of 2000. The night before I was supposed to have my senior portraits made, so it's still very vivid, because it was the most crazy thing I've ever experienced. I have always had strong premonitions about things. I just chalked it up to being an observant person. Anyway, my mother was away, caring for my aunt with cancer. My dad and brother had both worked outside that day and had terrible allergies, so they took Benadryl and they were out. Nobody to talk to about how I was feeling, so I called my mother. It was around 10 p.m., but I called anyway, and she answered. I told her, "Mom, I can't go to sleep, because if I go to sleep right now, I won't wake up." She asked for clarification. But all I could tell her, for sure, was if I fall asleep in my bed right now, I'm going to die. I can just feel it. She talked it up to being nervous. She told me to stretch out on the sofa and just sleep there. So I made my spot on the sofa. About an hour and a half later, I started feeling silly. So I grabbed my pillow and I went to my bed. I barely dozed off when I was woken up by the sound of rushing water, and then my windows bursting in. That's when I saw the smoke and flames. The house next door had caught fire and was fully engulfed, and because the houses were so close, ours caught fire too. I got us out, got the fire department and police there, and I even had an officer get my car out of my parking spot because I pushed the brakes to put it into gear and the brake pads melted to the wheels. The only part of our house that caught fire was my bedroom. My dad called my mother to tell her what happened, and she screamed for him to hand me the phone. She asked, "How the hell did you know that was going to happen?" "I just had the strongest feeling that if I went to bed, I would never wake up." My bed was against the windows, and the charred ceiling was on what was left of my bed. To this day, she says it's the strangest phone call she has ever gotten from me, and still can't explain how I knew that my room wasn't safe that night. I just know that if I had gone to bed, I would have been killed in a house fire. But instead, we all got out safely, and insurance fixed the damage to my room. In the end, it was a bad try at insurance fraud by the neighbor who lit candles all over his house. He let the cats in the room with the candles and then left the house. So the neighbor was fine. A horrible human, but fine. Was this a glitch or just a gut feeling?
The Most Haunted Road in New Jersey by Leonard Bro, No Caprio. This happened a couple of years ago, while I was still in college. I worked at my local high school in South Jersey on the night shift for some extra money. But unfortunately, the hours meant I didn't really get to have a life during the week. I got a call from my friend group on a Friday before I headed into work, saying that they were going to explore Clinton Road. which was known to be the scariest road in New Jersey. Obviously, I couldn't go, so I told them to let me know how they made out. Later in the night, I get a call from them in panic, describing all these things that happened to them. How they threw coins over Ghost Boy Bridge, and they came back. That a ghost truck followed them, and how they felt watched the entire time. I thought they were just hyping it up because I missed out. So it was decided I'd go with them next time, to see it all for myself. Something I'd regret for the rest of my life. Us being from South Jersey, Clinton Road is a bit of a drive for us, about 2 hours, so there was plenty of time for us to get hyped up and spooked out. Now I can only describe myself as the quote-unquote manly man of the group, being 6'5" and 260 pounds. Especially back then, I had the mindset of, it's all made up. Nothing will scare us. Boy, was I wrong. Right when we got there, the entire vibe changed from, oh, we're all going to be spooked, to, oh wait, this is actually pretty damn creepy. The road is in the middle of the woods, with houses few and far between. The first thing we see when we get there is a small castle-looking building, which is the best I can describe it. And because of the far ride, we all had to pee. So I went to the left, Joe went straight, and Hare went to the right. Michelle stayed behind us on the road. After I was done, I immediately walked back with Hare, but we noticed Joe walking towards the creepy building. I started shouting, asking what he was doing, and he turned back around with a look of shock. Me being completely confused, I asked him what he was doing walking there. Joe swore up and down that I was actually behind the building, waving at him to follow me. So naturally, we are already freaked out at this point. We pulled up to Ghost Boy Bridge, and I checked everyone for coins to make sure they didn't fake it just to scare me. We all threw the coins. Nothing happens. See guys, it's all in your head. Let's go, I said. So we all start walking back to the car, when all of a sudden, cling, 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 I hear the coins hit the road. We sprint back to check, and we find the coins laying on the road. I was 100% convinced they were just messing with me, so I had an idea to mark a coin so they couldn't fake it. I threw the coin in the water, waited 5 minutes in silence. Nothing. See guys, let's go. Shortly after we started walking back, that's right, I heard a coin hit the road, so I walked back. I'll be damned. It was the same coin with the exact marking I put on it. I'm extremely freaked out at this point, so we decide to leave. Driving down the windy road in a newer sports car, we were all scared and just wanted to get the hell out of there. We then see headlights appear behind us, seemingly out of nowhere, but we didn't see them attached to a vehicle. Now, I'm no car expert, but I bet my life they were lights on an old truck, which got closer the faster we went, taking bends at fast speeds that even a newer truck couldn't handle. Suddenly, the lights disappeared. In a panic, we decided to pull over to map our way out. There was dead silence, and no light except our headlights in the woods. We then heard a typical ghostly wooing noise, and of course, what came with it. Next to our car, and a bit into the woods, we saw a woman in a white dress. She then let out the loudest scream I have ever heard. We are all screaming at this point to get out of Dodge. Once we made it back, we decided to dig a little deeper on this road's history. Apparently, the ghost truck tries to make people crash on Dead Man's Curve. Allegedly, numerous bodies have been buried there by the infamous murderer known as the Iceman. On our way home, we felt ballsy and said we wanted to go back again the next night on Sunday. We suddenly pass an old rundown church that looks like it hasn't been used in 50 years. It had a sign left out front that read, "You need Jesus on Sunday." Safe to say that I never went back, and even to this day, the friend group still refuses to talk about what happened that night on Clinton Road.
The Creature in the Woods by Pismo Cubs. We live in Poland on the Czech border. This is relevant because there aren't many large predatory mammals around. A few nights ago, we took our off-road vehicles into a nearby forest that we had been in many times, day and night. We parked and walked across a bridge to the other side of the woods, which are surrounded by mounds. Probably old war trenches. The first thing I notice is the complete silence. The only sound was the crunching of dead leaves as we walked. The second thing I noticed, all of the grassy plants and shrubs on the ground had been crushed and were facing the same direction, as if a herd of buffalo had come down from the mounds and trampled them. As we were walking closer to the mounds, we suddenly heard a heavy thud on the ground. It was far away towards the mounds. It sounded like a 60-kilogram weight had landed. We don't see or hear anything else, though. We decided to go back to the bridge, which is 20 meters away. When we get there, still on the side of the mounds, we stop and shine our flashlights at the forest. We don't see or hear anything. About 30 seconds later, we begin to cross the bridge, still with our flashlights pointed at the forest. But now, in a bush about 3 meters away, are two sets of round, yellow eyes staring at us. The first set is about 1.5 to 2 meters from the ground, and the other is about 1. We had just shined our flashlights in that exact spot, and were still in earshot of the bush. How did this thing move so quickly without making a noise? We walked the rest of the bridge backward while shining lights at this bush. The whole time, these eyes were just watching us. We jumped into our vehicle and got out of there. Luckily, it didn't follow us. Whatever it was, stopped, stared, and stayed behind the bushes on the other side of the bridge. I can't tell if it was after us or if it was just making sure that we left its side of the bridge.
A Waking Dream by Ether Voyager. This happened about 13 years ago, when I was staying at a dormitory close to the college I was attending in southern India. Me and the guys in my dorm were about to go back to our homes for the weekend. Everybody else took off early, while I had to catch an early train the next day. This meant that I had to stay there alone for the night. Now, the interesting thing about this dorm is that it was a very old house, but it was converted into a dorm. The most interesting bit was my room, as it used to be a balcony, which was then converted into an additional room. Therefore, it was huge, and I had the whole thing to myself. For some reason, though, the locks were on the other side of the door, which meant that anyone could lock me in my own room if they wanted to. The dorm faced a traffic intersection, and there was a street lamp right outside my window. The light would flood in all night, giving my room an orange glow. Last but not least, the ceiling of the room was a false ceiling, with a single fan dangling from the middle of it. The fan only had two modes. It was either off or running at full speed. It hung from a steel hook and would shake like crazy, creating a racket akin to a freight train all night. Before I went to bed that night, I locked up the dorm as well as my room. In order to lock my door, I had to tie up the handles with a steel wire, since I had no other way to do so. This is what I always did to lock my room. I fell asleep, but woke up randomly in the middle of the night. It was still dark out. I don't know what woke me up, as I awoke very smoothly. I wasn't thirsty, nor did I have any urge to go to the bathroom. I looked at my watch and saw that it was 2 a.m. I was moving around to get comfortable again, and when I turned to face the other side of the room, I saw it. There was a man standing there, looking at me with a soft smile. He was wearing a white and blue checkered shirt, except that I was so comfy that I just smiled back, then turned my back to him and faced the wall. I started dozing off for about 15 minutes before suddenly realizing the reality of what I saw. There was somebody in my room when I knew I had locked my door, as well as the rest of the dorm, to ensure no one could get in unless I let them. I also noticed the fan wasn't making any noise, unlike its usual machine gun-like sound. I knew the street lamp was on outside, but for some reason its light was barely illuminating my room. It didn't even occur to me that there might be a paranormal entity in my room at the time. I was actually more worried about my wallet getting stolen. I was frozen in my bed, straining my ears to listen to any kind of movement, but I couldn't hear anything, still not even the fan. I checked my phone and saw the time change from 2:15 to 2:16. I then realized I had my flashlight next to me. I decided to shine it at the other end of the room. If push came to shove, I figured I would throw the flashlight at this intruder's face and gain some time to overpower him. This sounded like a genius plan to 18-year-old me back then. I slowly reached out for the flashlight and mustered up all of my courage, spun around and turned it on, only to find nothing. I was so relieved to see no one was there. Of course, I checked for my wallet, and it was right where I had left it. I managed to sleep soundly for the rest of the night. I woke up the next morning, and when I got to the door to go to the bathroom, I saw something that freaked me out. The steel wires on the door handle had become undone and were laying on the floor while the door was half open. I knew the door well, and knew that it couldn't move on its own. I tied those wires so tight. I got worried and checked my possessions again, as well as all the windows and doors. I have no idea what happened and how the steel wires could unwind themselves. Nonetheless, I got ready and headed out for breakfast. And just as I was passing through the hallway, I was looking at my messages. Then I stood still. There was a text from a guy in my class who I didn't know very well. I suddenly realized that the guy who I saw in my room looked exactly like him. I texted back, casually asking if he had been to my dorm. I knew he was back at his house like everybody else, but I was still surprised when he confirmed it. I even asked him if he had the same kind of shirt I saw the entity wearing. He was confused by my question, but you can imagine my surprise when he told me that he did indeed have a shirt just like that. To this day, we have barely spoken to each other, being only acquaintances and all. I have no idea why I saw him in my room, if that really was him. And to this day, I keep wondering if I dreamt the whole thing, or if something happened that I can't quite explain.
Grandma on the Run by Anita Durange. My grandma lived in an old house that was part of the Underground Railroad. It was a huge, white house, complete with hidden rooms. I always got a bad vibe when I was in that house, though. It didn't matter if I was alone or not. My grandpa passed away in the home when I was 2. That's the only death I knew of that happened in the house. I have a huge family, and my grandma herself had 10 boys and 3 girls, so I have a lot of aunts and uncles. Whenever any of us would pipe up about ghosts or spirits in the house, my grandma wouldn't hear any of it. "It's an old house. Humans are the only monsters," she'd always say. But when I was 16, my grandma finally had an experience that not only freaked her out, but it made her leave the house entirely. She even sold the house to a company that tore it down. When she sold it, she specified that it needed to be torn down, if that tells you anything. I always begged her to tell me what happened, but she refused, until one night when I was about 18. She was a very blunt woman. She wasn't one for jokes, pranks, or making up stories, so I know that what she told me happened for sure. She started by telling me that she had always seen things that creeped her out, just like the rest of the family, but she said that she would always excuse it as something else. "Oh, it was the furnace," or "it must have been the wind." Plus, she firmly believed in Jesus and that Jesus would save her from anything evil. She wasn't super religious, but if she thought that someone or something needed Jesus, she would be vocal about it. Now, on to the story that made her move out of the house. One evening, she was in her room watching TV, and she thought that she heard someone walking around upstairs. One of my uncles, Uncle Phil, had a room upstairs that he sometimes stayed in. There was a padlock on the outside of this door, so you could not get inside the room without the key. After listening to this thumping noise upstairs a little bit, it got so loud that she decided to go find out what the racket was. She noticed Uncle Phil's room was locked from the outside, so she knew that he couldn't have been in there. There was no way anyone could have been in there. So she looked in all the other upstairs rooms, but she didn't find or hear anything else. In fact, by the time she started looking around upstairs, it was totally silent with the exception of her own footsteps. She told me she kind of shrugged it off as outside noise or something like that. She figured maybe an animal got on the roof or maybe a mouse was running around the furnace, so she just let it go. Then she went back downstairs and started to read. After some time passed, she thought that she heard someone crying. It was a soft whisper, but she could distinctly hear somebody sobbing. She listened intently for a few minutes and then suddenly quit. After it stopped, she began to wonder if she even heard it at all. She decided to turn the TV on again so that she would have some background noise while she was reading, and she quickly forgot about it. It started to get kind of late, so she figured she'd take a shower and go to bed. So she turned the TV off and headed to the bathroom. And then she heard a clanging from upstairs. Now, before going upstairs to investigate again, she called my uncle to see where he was, just in case. He answered the call and told her that he was out of town, but he said that he'd be home the following morning. And after she ended the call with him, she just went to take a shower. She told me that she was rinsing her hair when she heard someone screaming loud. She said it was like they were in the bathroom with her. She said the screaming sounded so loud, so sad, and so painful. It was like somebody was being tortured to death just a few feet away from her. My grandma was terrified when this happened, so she screamed. Then she grabbed her towel and ran out of the house. She ran down the river straight to my Uncle Mike's house. When she arrived at his place, she was so shaken that he called an ambulance. Her blood pressure was in stroke range, but otherwise, they said that she was fine. My Uncle Mike's wife gave my grandma some clothes to wear since she ran over there in a towel, but my grandma said that she wasn't even going back to her house. She ended up buying a house a few roads over. To this day, I wonder what was going on in that house. Maybe it was haunted or possessed. Who knows? My grandma has since passed, but she always stuck by her story. The look that she had in her eyes when she described the screaming still haunts me to this day.
My Phone Story by Reimagine Stuff. We've had our cabin in the mountains since 1966. It was my father's heaven on earth because he grew up so close by and had to leave home at a young age to go to a school for the deaf and blind. He died in 1995 of leukemia, but made my sisters and I promise we'd take care of the cabin before he passed. In 2005, my sister, who lives in Texas, called me on a Saturday, asking if my other sister and I were at the cabin. I said no, but we're going next weekend. Why? She said she'd gotten a missed call from the cabin landline on her cell phone, called back, and there was no answer. I was a little confused, but figured it was possible that her uncle was over checking on stuff. But I had canceled long-distance service a few months prior because we only used the phone for local calls and in case we ever needed to dial 911. So I thought maybe the phone company took it off the bill, but long-distance service was still active. I called the cabin and there was no answer. So I called my uncle's house. He answered and said he hadn't been over since the last time we visited, but that he'd go check on it, just in case our neighbor was over and had an emergency. After a while, he called back, saying nobody was there. He had tried to call me from the cabin, but couldn't, because there was no long distance. He also checked with the neighbor, and they hadn't been there. I called my sister back, and told her it couldn't have come from the cabin, because her uncle hadn't been there. And he verified that long distance wasn't working. She was adamant that it came from that number, as it was in her call history. We both ended up half jokingly saying it must have been our dad calling her. When we hung up, I laid my cell phone down beside me and said out loud, "Daddy, call me." Sounds stupid, but I felt jealous that he would call her and not me. Then, my phone immediately rings, and the screen says unknown caller. I was like, oh hell no, This can't be happening. With goosebumps on my arms, I picked up and could hear nothing but static, and what sounded like several people's voices from far away. I kept saying, "Hello? Hello?" but could hear nothing but static and those faraway voices. After a few seconds comes this loud voice, like someone had the receiver right up to their mouth. It didn't sound like my dad. All I heard was, "Eh," like mimicking the sound of a buzzer going off when a wrong answer is given on a game show. Kinda like, "Gotcha." Then the call disconnected. I called my sister back, freaking out. She said, "It has to be Dad trying to warn us that something is wrong." We really didn't know what to think, and it almost felt like we had both imagined it all, but we could see the calls on our phone's call history. She said maybe he called her instead of me and our other sister, because she would have been alerted to a Virginia number, since she lived in Texas, whereas my sister and I might have not paid attention. She insisted that we check everything out when we went back up, and was convinced our dad was trying to send a warning. The next weekend, my other sister and I went to the cabin for our already planned trip. Our uncle always goes over first and starts a fire for us, so it'll be warm when we get there. When we arrived that day, he said he decided to clean out the chimney flue. He also added, "Good thing I did, because it was full and only had about an inch opening. That thing could have burned the cabin down." To this day, we're still convinced our dad was warning my sister about the chimney flue being blocked. It still gives me goosebumps when I think about the phone calls, but I kick myself for not taking screenshots of them. If it had only been me, I know I would think I must have dreamt it all. It all still feels so surreal.
Okay, so we have to do a quick calculation for the folks in the audience who can't do metric system conversions in their heads here in America. And I mean folks like me.
Yeah. You're talking about the creature in the woods?
Yeah, I definitely had to Google the conversion the first time that I read the story because I always forget how many feet are in a meter. We literally never use meters to measure anything in our daily lives over here unless it's specific to a certain job or role that requires it for some reason or another.
Yeah, unless we're measuring out medicine by the milligram or running a 100-meter dash, it just doesn't really happen. I've always been in favor of us switching over, though. It makes so much more sense.
Yeah, maybe we'll switch over someday. I definitely like using my metric tools over the American tools.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully it happens.
Yeah, well, until that happens, one of the creatures in that story was actually about 6.5 feet tall.
Gotta love those tall kings with the piercing yellow eyes. Maybe it was Bigfoot or something.
Could be. They also said that the eyes were round, which is a weird detail.
Mm-hmm.
The only non-cryptid explanation I can think of is that it could have been owls.
Yeah, that makes sense, but I feel like the loud thuds would have scared off any birds away that were nearby.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with this. Plus, all of the plants and shrubs were trampled down in the area, like some large creature had made its way through it.
Yeah. It's kind of tricky because something that is 1.5 to 2 meters ends up being like 1.5 feet difference, which is pretty considerable.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the author, the thing was like either 5 feet or 6.5 feet.
Yeah. And then there's the second one that was just over 3 feet tall.
Aw, baby Bigfoot.
Oh, I bet that's adorable. I just imagine little Ewoks.
Did you ever watch those Ewok movies? I only saw Caravan of Courage, I think it was called, but I really wish I could get my time back.
I actually did see one of them, but I don't remember enough about it. When my grandma was alive, she worked as the principal of a preschool, and my mom would sometimes sub as the cook when their cook would go on vacation. And me being homeschooled, I would have to go with my mom when I was little, and I would do my homework in the kitchen while she worked. Anyways, the kitchen opened up to this little dining area with long tables, which was also connected to a church, and it was all just in one building, and it's kind of weird when I think about it now.
Yeah, a kitchen, a dining area, and a church all in one space makes you wonder what else they were hiding in there.
Yeah. And the preschool was actually a decent size too. I loved that place.
I actually liked going to church as a little kid because to me it just felt like school, but it was only ever recess. There was never actually any schoolwork to be done, no homework or anything. But where are we going with all this?
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. But anyways, getting back on track, the Ewok movies, the important part of Odd Trails.
Yes.
In that same building, there was this large CRT or big box tube TV for the kids that are listening. And my grandma always allowed a handful of VHS there for the kids to watch. And one of them was the Ewok movie. I don't remember which one it was. I just remember watching it with a few of the kids that stayed after hours waiting for their parents. And my mom would watch them while they waited. But I don't remember too much about the movie because I was distracted by this girl that was there that I had a crush on.
Ooh. Oh, that's cute, though. I don't think you missed out on the Star Wars holiday special either.
If they were edited down a bunch, I think it would be kind of fun to watch them. They are funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, the holiday special is a nightmare and it's way too long. Anyway, at the preschool, I saw her and another girl whispering to each other. And then the one that I liked said out loud, "She thinks you're cute."
So the girl you liked told you that a different girl thought you were cute.
Yeah. And that actually happened to me quite a few times in my life.
Yeah, I feel your pain. One of my crushes actually tried to set me up with a different girl. Very heart-shattering. So, yeah, I guess we just have to have a double feature Ewok movie night to soften our wounds.
Yeah, maybe we could arrange that on the Discord somehow.
Good idea.
Yeah, anyways, I loved the cryptid story. It's so rare that we get those, but I'm fully prepared to be brutally made fun of for not knowing how to convert meters to feet by those listeners, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Gotta love the know-it-alls.
It's okay. I catch myself doing it sometimes, too.
We all do. So, on to the story titled The Most Haunted Road in New Jersey, that made me cross my wires a bit with Shades of Death Road, as I'm sure you remember we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit, I don't really remember hearing much about Clinton Road before this.
Yeah, I was thinking of Shades of Death too. A lot of people seem to not like New Jersey, but they're two for two now.
Yeah, you know, I think it's mostly just Camden that people don't like about New Jersey. But I mean, Clerks, Welcome to the Dollhouse, and Pete and Pete,
mm-hmm.
all filmed in New Jersey, so it can't be that bad, right?
Yeah. The quick stop in Clerks is still there, and it mm-hmm. has the same sign, and it looks just like the movie.
Yeah, I saw that too. The video store still has the sign in the window, but I don't know if it's actually still in business.
Oh, you know who is still in business?
Who?
Jason Mewes, the guy who played Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. He streams Fortnite on Twitch all the time now.
Oh, I love that. We got to try playing with him one of these days.
Yeah.
We're not the best in the world, but I feel like we can hold it down.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a complete disaster, at least.
Nah, we're about as good as Jason. All right, we're putting it out in the universe. It's going to happen for sure.
Jay, we want to play.
What do you say?
Next Sunday?
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, Clinton Road. Like I usually do whenever I learn about a new place, I go on Street View and mm-hmm. travel around from the safety and comfort of my home.
Yeah, I do the same, not to derail things too much, but it kind of reminds me of the people that are going to be making fun of me for the metric thing. I was playing GeoGuessr, I think that's what it's called.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
Where they just drop you in a random place on Google Maps and you have to figure out where you are based on signage and foliage and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was streaming it, and I just got to say, the people that play that, or at least the Twitch crowd that does the GeoGuessr thing, are some of the most brutal folks that you'll ever come in contact with online. I mean, I've been made fun of for all kinds of different things. Me and a lot of my friends, we grew up just ripping on each other as a way to show our, I don't know, affection for each other. I'm used to being made fun of, but there was something so soul-crushing about somebody calling me dumb or stupid because I couldn't find Croatia on a map.
Because you don't know what color fire hydrants they use in Zimbabwe or something.
Yes, exactly. Oh, man, I had never really been hurt that bad since maybe I was in high school or something. It just felt, it really hurt so bad.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, we got to try that together. I think that'd be a fun activity to do when we want to de-stress from all the Fortnite losses. We can do some geo exploration together. What was it called again?
I think it's just called GeoGuessr.
GeoGuessr. Okay. Yeah. We got to do cool. That. I've done it before. Like on Reddit, they have little Easter egg hunt type of things where you have to guess the location. I think It's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, I do the same. I always travel around on Google Maps when I come up with something in a story or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I know we get all grumpy and rag on technology a lot, but I think Street View is actually one of the cooler things that I'm on board with. And Clinton Road itself, it looked beautiful. It's the kind of scenery I always envisioned myself living in.
Yeah, I looked it up too, and you're right. A lot of trees and water.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see all the no trespassing signs that the county put up all over the trees?
I did, yeah. It's funny and sad. I get why they did it, but it's such an eyesore and kind of a buzzkill.
Yeah.
Just stay on the road and keep it moving, people. Very unwelcoming.
Yep.
It's like the signs at elementary schools that say drug-free zone. I'm sure they're there to reinforce to kids that drugs are bad rather than stop any drug dealers in their tracks. But my 10-year-old mind used to freak out and wonder if the cafeteria food was laced or something.
Yeah. Remember that framed display showing how candy and over-the-counter medicine looked similar to street drugs?
Yeah. You couldn't trust anything. You never knew if grandma was using baking powder in her cookies after that.
Yeah. My mom gave me a cough drop around the time that I first saw it, and I remember asking her, "Are you giving me drugs?"
Did you take it?
I don't remember.
I guess we'll never know then.
Yeah, nope.
Yeah, so that's what Clinton Road is all about. Cool story, bro.
Yeah.
Lots of neat legends out there. We'll add that to our growing list of places that we'll probably never visit, but you never know.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd have a reason to visit Texas, but that happened too.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get booked for a live show at 3 in the morning underneath Ghost Boy Bridge or something.
Yeah, you have fun with that.
All right, then. I'll bring a blanket.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks everybody so much for listening. We appreciate all the stories. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. All the stories you did hear this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. If you want to support the show and get access to ad-free versions of all the episodes, head over to patreon.com/oddtrails to sign up and support the show today. And make sure you check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. Everyone, stay safe.
Peace out.
Don't let the ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.